now, a terrible, terrible danger. I'll tell you what the danger was. Not, of course, all the Yidden got killed, because there was still Yidden living there in Mitzpah in Eretz Yisrael. But some of the soldiers that didn't get killed, they didn't know what's happening. They ran to Bavel, to Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Jews are making trouble in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews are killing. They killed our soldiers. And they killed Gedaliah. The Jews are making trouble. Now, they didn't just say the Jews that were the bad guys. They said the Jews. They didn't know what's going on with Ishmael and with Gedaliah, you understand? They thought only the Jews are making trouble. Who is Nebuchadnezzar going to get angry at? All of the Jews. You see what happened? Because the soldiers got killed. Nebuchadnezzar is going to say, oh, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they're making trouble. I'm going to punish the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And so all the Yidden were afraid that Nebuchadnezzar is going to get mad at them because his soldiers got killed. And who killed his soldiers? Yidden. The Yidden that were left in Eretz Yisrael, they got together, they made a big meeting, they said, what should we do? We're afraid that Nebuchadnezzar will come with his armies and going to punish us. So, some of them said, let's run away. We'll run away from Eretz Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar won't get us. Another Yidden said, where are we going to go? Nebuchadnezzar has a big army. He could chase us wherever we go. Maybe we should stay here. Well, they decided there's only one place they could really go, and that is Eretz Mitzrayim. Remember Eretz Mitzrayim? Kenelach, the Yidden were slaves in Mitzrayim. The Yidden were slaves to Paroi in Mitzrayim. But this was a place to run and hide. So the Yidden decided, maybe we should go to run away to Mitzrayim and hide over there. And they packed up suitcases. They packed up their stuff. They packed up their kids. They ran out of their houses and they went with their wagons and their horses and their animals and their furniture, and they started going down the road to Mitzrayim to run away. But on the way, they still thought to themselves, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. After all, how can we go back to Mitzrayim where we were slaves to Paroi? All of a sudden somebody said, hey, there is Beis Lechem. Beis Lechem is a town, and over there lived Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Remember I told you? Yirmiyahu Hanavi was a big tzaddik, and he was allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. After Nebuchadnezzar took away everybody else, he allowed Yirmiyahu to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he lived in a place called Beis Lechem. So the Yidden said, let's go to Yirmiyahu and ask him what we should do. After all, he's a Navi and he's a Tzaddik. And they all went outside Yirmiyahu's house and they said, Yirmiyahu, what should we do? Should we go to Mitzrayim and run away from Nebuchadnezzar? Or should we stay here? We don't know what to do. Yirmiyahu said, I'm going to daven to Hashem. And Hashem, hopefully, will tell me the answer. With Ruach HaKodesh. The whole day he was davening to Hashem. And then he came out of his house. The Yidden said, Yirmiyahu, what did Hashem say? Yirmiyahu said, Yidden, be patient. Hashem did not answer me today. I'm going to daven again tomorrow. The next day went by, Kenelach, and Yirmiyahu davened the whole day. At the end of the day he came out of his house. The Yidden said, Yirmiyahu, what did Hashem say? We're getting scared already. Yirmiyahu said, Hashem didn't say anything yet. It's still not time to get the answer. I'm going to keep trying. A third day he davened. A fourth day he davened. He davened the whole day. Still no answer. The Yidden were getting nervous. 5 days. 6, 7, 8, 9. And finally 10 days. The whole day from the morning to the night he was sitting in his talis and tefillin and he was davening and he didn't eat and he didn't drink. He was just davening the whole day. By this time, the Yidden were so nervous. They said, let's get out of here. We're afraid Nebuchadnezzar will come with his armies. Finally, as they were leaving, Yirmiyahu came out of his house and he said, Yidden, Hashem answered me with Ruach HaKodesh. He said, stay in Eretz Israel. Don't go to Mitzrayim. Over there will be dangerous. Here will be safe. But the Yidden were so nervous, they didn't want to listen, and they ran away to Mitzrayim. They didn't listen to Yirmiyahu Anavi Kindalach. Now, if you listen to a tzaddik, you know everything is going to be good. What happens if you don't listen to a tzaddik? Can it be good? No. The Yidden ran to Mitzrayim. They lived in Mitzrayim, and they thought they were safe. And you know what happened? A little while later, there was a big fight in Paro's palace. And people came in, and they killed Paro. Well, Nebuchadnezzar heard about this. He says, look, Paro is dead in Mitzrayim, and they have no king. It's my chance. I want to be the king of Mitzrayim, because I want to be the king of everywhere. And he said to his armies, let's go to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to be the king of Mitzrayim, just like the king of Bavel. I'm going to be the king of everywhere. They went down to Mitzrayim, and on the way to Mitzrayim, wherever they went, they killed and they made all kinds of trouble. And over there, Kinelach, the Yidden that had run away, also a lot of them got killed because they were in Mitzrayim. And you know what happened? In Eretz Yisrael, nothing happened. The Yidden that would have stayed in Eretz Yisrael, if they would have stayed there, nothing would have happened to them. Why did anything happen to them? Because they went to Mitzrayim. Why did they go to Mitzrayim? Because they did not listen to Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Now today, Kinelach, you heard a lot of sad things, right? And it started with when Gedaliah got killed. Now, this happened when Gedaliah got killed on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is really when the very sad thing happened. Are we allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? No. Are we allowed to fast on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? No. So we have to wait until the day after Rosh Hashanah, which is called Soim Gedaliah, because since we're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, we fast afterwards. Now this year is a special thing, because right after Rosh Hashanah came what? Shabbos. Are we allowed to fast on Shabbos? No. So we pushed off Soim Gedaliah until today. Okay, so today is really Soim Gedaliah, which has been pushed off. So what we have to do is do tshuva. First of all, never get jealous and never hate. If you get jealous and you hate, it turns into big avedus. Okay? If you see somebody better than you, try to be like them and make yourself better. But don't hate them. That's a big aveda. Number two, if a tzaddik says something, what do? We listen to him. And chas v'shalom to ever do something against a tzaddik, you always listen to a tzaddik. And of course, we have Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe Shlita, and he tells us many things to do. When we listen to the Rebbe Shlita, everything goes good. And everything is the best. And all the things work out when we listen to the Rebbe, what he tells us to do, and when we listen to the Torah. And if chas v'shalom we don't do what the Torah says, then we know that it's not going to be good. It's good when we listen to the tzaddik, we listen to the Rebbe Shlita, we listen to the Torah, and we do what Hashem says.
A long time ago was a Yid. We'll call him Reb Yankel because there's no other name there. He got married. They started having a family until they have 6 kids. Kenayinahara. And Yankel needs a job to be able to pay money to take care of his family. What did he do? He opened up a little restaurant, the kind of restaurant which was mostly drinking and a little bit of eating. Some restaurants have a lot of eating and some drinking. But this was mostly a drinking restaurant and a little bit of eating. And his wife would cook some of the food, and Yankel would go and get the mashke and the whiskey. And starting in the morning, the peasants on the way to work, before they go out to the farm, they would come for breakfast. No, not French toast or cereal or scrambled eggs. No, no. Mashke. And maybe a piece of a potato with some onion. And maybe a little bit more mashke. Oh, time to go to work. Well, some of them would go up to go to work, and some of them would have a little bit too much mashke, and they would say, oh, I don't want to go to work just yet. I gotta wait till the mashke wears off. And they sit in the restaurant instead of going to work. Well, if they're sitting in the little restaurant, well, they eat a little bit more potato and onion and garlic, and then they drink a little bit more mashke. Well, they're full of mashke. More mashke than potatoes. And then when they have so much mashke, what do they start talking about? They start talking about all kinds of things, like a peasant who drank too much mashke. And Yankel has to be there listening to all of it. I don't want to listen to all of this. I wish I could leave, but he has to take care of his customers. Well, sometimes they get into a fight, and they start fighting. Well, Yankel's got to do something about it, otherwise they're going to break his whole restaurant down. So he's got to go break up the fight, or he has to throw them out in the street, and then they come back in, and they start fighting again. Oy, what a hard job. What a difficult job. Well, finally, it's time to go. They have to go to work or they have to go somewhere. They can't sit the whole day in the restaurant. Time to pay the money. Ivan pays. Igor pays. Boris pays. But Natasha, or whatever his name is, he doesn't have the money. And he didn't have the money. Who was it?
Vladimir.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Vladimir, he didn't have the money. Vladimir doesn't have the money to pay. And he didn't have the money yesterday to pay. And he didn't have the money 2 days ago and 3 days ago. Vladimir says, write it down. I'll pay you later. And he has to write it down. And he has to write somebody else down. And they don't pay. And if he's not going to give him the mashke, they'll get all upset. So he has to write it down. And they owe the money. And the whole day goes like this. Taking care of the drunken peasants. Listening to all of their drunken talking. And breaking up the fights. And then going to schlep more bottles and barrels of mashke and whiskey. And then by the end of the day, there's not enough money because the goyim owes so much money. And by the end of the month, there's also not enough money because things are expensive and he's not making so much money. And Reb Yankel is getting very upset. I wish I had another job. I wish I could do something else. And he thinks, what else could I do? But there's nothing else he could really do. So he says, I have to go on having my restaurant. Oh, I can't stand my job the whole day with these drunken peasants. Oy, what should I do? Get another job? What should I do? Is it so easy to find a job? Well, he already had bought the restaurant and he already had that job, and it wasn't so easy to feed 6 children and his wife and take care of his family. It wasn't so easy just to find another job. So he goes back to his job, but he's very, very sad and very upset. And one day, Reb Yankel's wife says, go to the Shpala Zayde. He's a big tzaddik. Maybe he'll give you some advice. Maybe he'll give you a bracha. Maybe, who knows, a tzaddik could help, because a tzaddik is close to Hashem. Of course, Hashem is the one that is the helper. And the man, Reb Yankel, travels to the Shpalazadeh. And he goes and cries, and he tells his problem to the Shpalazadeh. Oh, I wish I had a different life. I wish it was much easier for me. It's so difficult to spend the whole day with the drunken peasants in the hotel. And the Shpalazadeh is listening. And now the Shpalazadeh speaks. Shh. And he says, Reb Yankel, you would like to have a different job, right? Oh, yes. Reb Yankel, you'd like to have a job, or actually, you'd even rather be in shul the whole day and not to have to deal with anybody else, just to learn and daven, right? Oh, yes, that would be wonderful. And Reb Yankel, it's hard to take care of your family. It's hard to make enough money, right? You'd like to have plenty of money, right? Oh, yes, I'd like to have plenty of money. And to buy clothes, wouldn't you love to have beautiful clothes for your children and yourself? Oh, yes, I'd like to have beautiful, nice clothes. And you'd like to live in a beautiful house with nice furniture and warm and everything you need and good food? Oh, yes, yes, that's what I would like. And you would like to have everything be nice and easy, and you could serve Hashem, and it would be easy to serve Hashem because you'd have plenty of time, and you wouldn't have to take care of all the things you have to take care of. Oh, yes, that's what I'd like. Shh. And in fact, maybe you'd like to wear a big fur hat and a silk kapata, and just be close to Hashem the whole day? Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? And Reb Yankel thought that he's getting a tremendous bracha for a beautiful life from the Shpalazadeh. And all of a sudden, the Shpalazadeh starts shaking his head. Oh no, Yankel, you have it all wrong. Shpalazadeh shakes his head. He says, this is not what Hashem wants from you. Hashem wants from you that you should be the whole day with a drunken goyim. And you should have to take care and do the best you can, even though you're not making a lot of money. And you will have a few minutes here and there to say a kapitel tehillim. And you will have some time in the morning to daven, and some time to learn, and you will do the best you can, even though things are so difficult. This is the way you are giving Hashem a tremendous nachas, and this is your avodas Hashem. Hashem does not need from you a fur hat, a silken kapata, and everything to be beautiful and nice. Otherwise, Hashem could have created a world only with malachim, and every time they're just saying, Hashem is halik and Hashem is wonderful and praising Hashem. He could have created the world in a very easy way. No, Hashem didn't do that. He created you and your situation, and it's very hard, but this is the way Hashem created the world. Even though it's hard, you do your best to serve Hashem. Kinalach, all of a sudden now, Reb Yankel sees a different way. And he went back, and he did the best he could, and he was very happy and thankful that he's able to serve Hashem as well as he could in his situation. And that's kind of like a big lesson. Everybody wants everything to be perfect and different. or whoever has, you know, a difficulty, they do the best they can. This is what Hashem wants from us. Not that everything should be perfect.
Even though if you're born a Jew, you are a Jew. As we know, if your mother's Jewish, you're a Yid automatically. But to really be a Yid, you know, you have to work and you have to be all the time working at it. But we say a bracha, I thank Hashem that He didn't make me a goy. Now, let me tell you about this bracha in this story. One day, Levi Yitzchak Abedichever, oh, remember, we just had this story. In fact, we're in the middle of that story. Where in his house in the morning, the door was always open, and whoever wanted can come into the house and sit or stand and listen to Levi Yitzchak Abedichev say, Birchos HaShachar, remember? He says the brachas of the morning. Now, since he was such a great tzaddik, his brachas were so halik, people would come just to listen to him say brachas and answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai and Amei, as in the story we're having now. Now, one time, Levi Yitzchak Abedichev was saying the brachas in the morning. And he said in his very halakha way, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Oizer Yisrael Bigavura. And of course everybody answered Amen. Baruch atah Hashem, and everybody says, Baruch Baruch Shmoy, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Oiter Yisrael Besifara. And they say Amen. Then he says, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shalei Asani Aved. Oh, wait a minute. He skipped Shalei Asani Goy. He skipped it. People looking at each other. Did Tzaddik skip the bracha? Now, does a Tzaddik lose his place in the Siddur? Or a Tzaddik is very careful on every little tiny thing? If a Tzaddik is very careful on every little tiny thing, how could it be that he skips the whole bracha? Stop, please, to squeak your death. Especially in this story, because this microphone picks up every little tiny sound, even if it's far away. Yes, this microphone picks up every little tiny sound. Do you know what happened? I'll tell you a funny story. When I was in my house, I was listening to a story because I was putting it on the tape. It's on the tape, but I have to put it on a different tape. And I don't put everything on because sometimes I have to cut something out, as everybody understands. Happens in a classroom or a lunchroom. And as the story is going and I'm listening to it, I hear one of my kids upstairs crying. Ooh, I have to go upstairs. Boy, is that a long bell. I have to go upstairs. One of my kids is crying. And I run upstairs. And they're asleep. Oh, I guess they woke up in the middle of their sleep. I come back downstairs. Now, I had headphones on. You know what headphones are?
Yeah.
Okay. And I rewind the tape, and I'm listening to this story. And again, I hear one of my kids wake up upstairs. Crying. Oh, I run upstairs. One of my kids is crying. And I go upstairs, they're sleeping. Wait, what's going on over here? Something is fishy. Well, I went back to the tape, I rewound it again, and all of a sudden I hear again the kid crying. Now what happened was this. Some kid in a different classroom, and it might have been upstairs because this is a stereo microphone, which means it's picking up from different sides. And a kid, it could have been upstairs, not in this classroom, a different classroom where I was before, a kid started crying upstairs. Now, the way it sounded in the headphones was exactly like it was upstairs in my house. Because the way when you're hearing the headphones, the sound is coming from above. In other words, the sound is coming from different places because the microphone that I have is recording from different places. It doesn't record from one place. It records all around. So it sounded exactly like one of my kids in my house was crying. Really, a kid upstairs in the yeshiva was crying. And it was on tape because I had recorded it in my classroom. And each time I got exactly that part, I heard the crying, I ran upstairs to my house because it sounded like it was one of my kids in my house upstairs. But it wasn't. It was a kid on the tape that was crying. You see? Each time the microphone picks up every little tiny sound, even something upstairs. And it sounded to me that it was upstairs. And each time I would take off the microphone, the headphones, and I'm running upstairs in my house, the kids are sleeping, I come back down, I think I'm going nuts over here. Then I realize I'm hearing the same thing over and over again. The same thing was on the tape. It wasn't in my house. Anyway, how could it be that Levi Yitzchak Obadichev forgot a bracha? So one of the Elter Yidden over there later on asked him, and this is what he said. He says, this morning I was walking back from the mikveh to my house, and all of a sudden I see there's some goyim rolling around in the street drunk. Rolling around in the street drunk. And I think to myself, look at that. Must be a good story, because we have so many, whenever I tell a good story, we have so many disturbances. It's unbelievable. And this bell is so long. It's unbelievable. Listen to that bell, how long it is. I used to have dogs outside of my room. I had a different room. And every time I would get to a good part of the story, the main part of the story, the doggies would come out and bark their heads off. And I realized, aha, must be a great story, because the doggies are coming out to try to ruin it. As we learned, remember, if something in Halakite happens, who tries to mess it up? The Yetzirah. And if nothing is happening, you know, it goes smoothly. If something good is happening, like the Gemara says, a chasana is so halik, and the Yetzirah tries to do all kinds of things to make trouble because of the halikite of the chasana. And Levi Yitzchak Obadichev said, I saw these goyim rolling around in the street. I thought to myself, look, you know, a yid also drinks sometimes, but a yid makes l'chaim. He says l'chaim levivracha, and it's halik, or he makes kiddush on Shabbos, or on Yontiv, or maybe by a l'chaim for a chasan and kala, or by a chasana. You know, he's freilich. A yid also drinks, but he drinks for Hashem. And these goyim are drinking, and they get drunk, and they're rolling around, and there's nothing here for Hashem. And he got so happy, he couldn't contain himself. He couldn't hold it back. He couldn't even wait. And Levi Yitzchak Obadichev said, I couldn't even hold myself back. I got so happy that I'm a Yid and not a Goy. And he said, right there in the street, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shelo Yasani Goy. Now, if he already made the bracha that he's happy he's not a Goy, can he make the bracha again in his house later? No. So he already said the bracha. He got so excited that he's a Yid and he's not a Goy. Well, he made the bracha Shelo Yasani Goy already. And that's why that morning he did not say,